Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to another episode of the Risen Motherhood Podcast. I'm Emily Jensen, and I'll be joined by my sister-in-law, friend, and co-host, Laura Wiffler, in just a few minutes. We have spent this whole series talking about the principles of being a gospel mom who follows the Lord and knows how to orient her life and her decisions around Christ. It's really the methodology behind Risen Motherhood and all we've done here over the years, and we want to transfer all of that knowledge to you. In fact, in today's episode, we're going to be covering a specific principle from chapter 9 of the Gospel Mom book, all about heart motivations and what drives the why behind the choices we make in motherhood. Gospel Mom is available if you want to have all the things that we're talking about in this podcast series in a written format with a lot more information and in-depth examples. This resource, along with the companion workbook, Becoming a Gospel Mom, are two resources that can help you process your questions in motherhood and help you rest in Christ as you receive the journey that God has for your life. Snag your copy anywhere books are sold or find more info at risenmotherhood.com/gospelmom. Also, don't forget to mark your calendar for Saturday, April 5th, 2025. Before Risen Motherhood sunsets, we are going out with a huge party, and we are streaming it all live from Fort Worth, Texas. We would love for you to grab your mom pals, those that you've been discussing Risen Motherhood with over the years, and join us via simulcast for a time of reflection on all that God has done through the ministry of Risen Motherhood. Tickets are free, so you just need to register at risenmotherhood.com/celebrationparty. Okay, let's get to the show. I think this topic of heart motivations really hit home for us when we started talking about aging and beauty. And I remember we were working on a show. I think it was a live show.
Like the aging show.
Yeah, that we were going to do. And we were like, we need to try to put our system for thinking about the why behind what we do, like on paper.
Well, I remember we had like a cornucopia drawn at one point. And like kind of crazy triangle boxes like all overlapping. I mean, we tried all sorts of diagrams.
I know. We kind of went crazy on whiteboards for a while trying to.
We were like, we are going to get this. We're going to make a diagram that anyone can understand. We never got there.
We could never find the diagram. But we did, I feel like, get our arms finally around what we were trying to
say. We made a grid. We ended up making a very simple Excel grid.
And essentially, we feel like this piece of the puzzle is so important for gospel motherhood because what you worship with your life matters. And it's kind of like what's driving you deep down in the decisions that you're making every day and really having a handle on why you do what you do and why you love what you love and what it is that you're actually living for.
Yeah, this is just a worship question. You know, and we all would say, I think if you're listening to this podcast and you are a believer, like you'd say, I worship Jesus. I follow Jesus. I love Jesus. Like that's the Bible school answer. That's an honest answer probably, but very quickly, I think our love for the Lord can get crowded by the love of other things, right? By what God calls idols. And those idols are really just something that we worship, anything that we worship other than God. And so I think when we start to look at the practical ways worship is playing out in our lives, whether that's how we're spending our time, our energy, our brain power, our money, our words, like where are all of those going? You know, I think what's the common saying? Like you want to know what someone cares about, look at their checkbook.
Yeah.
So yes, checkbook's one of them, but we would push at Risen Motherhood that it's
their
far
time,
more.
Their time, their thoughts. All like those things.
We can spend hours and hours and hours doing something that's technically free, but all of our time is pushed towards that. Then, you know, you get some question marks around, hey, what are you worshiping? What are you loving right now? And so that's kind of what we want to dig into today.
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. Oh man. I think this can be identified a lot of times in our life when we have a disproportionately strong reaction to something that we feel is threatened, something we want in life or something that we feel that we have to have, and it's maybe going to be taken away from us, or we maybe fear that we're not going to have it anymore. You know, this can be things that are like, you know,
physical things. Like I have to have my coffee. And like, if I couldn't get my coffee, I would freak out. You know, we all joke about that, but like there is like a very real sense that like sometimes you feel like if I don't get my coffee, I can't lose my mind.
Yeah. Or I can't be kind. You want to be angry or you have a shorter temper or you're impatient. And in your mind, you're blaming all of that back to, well, I didn't get my coffee crutch.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
And we have a whole show on crutches that
we do.
People could listen to. That's very enlightening.
I think, it goes through a lot of this. Or maybe it's kind of like my glass of wine or whatever, you know, you don't like it at all when people start to talk about, you know, whether or not that's healthy and that feels threatening to you, or maybe it's certain self-care things that you do or certain time to yourself, or maybe it's feeling like your kids need to be in like certain activities, or it can just really run the gamut. And those might be real things of like, hey, it would be hard for me if I didn't have coffee, or it would really be sad if we couldn't go on that family vacation I wanted to go on. But I feel like when we get those big reactions, it's just like a little flag that comes up and says, whoo, let's pause and see what's going on here and ask, like, why do I want this so badly? And is my heart or my mind or my identity wrapped up in this in a way that is not healthy and is like out of alignment, out of proportion with like my love and my identity in Christ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a really easy one to see it in, and we mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but it's pretty easy to see it in some of the beauty conversation for women, because I think, and that includes makeup, fashion, you know, physical enhancements, surgical and needle induced or whatever, all those things. But I think for women, that is a really tender topic that what I guess I'm trying to say is that it seems like it shines a spotlight. Like you might be able to spot it easier around that topic and then be able to apply the skills that you saw within that to other areas of your life. Like you said, family vacations or kids in sports or, you know, this date night you want to go on with your husband, whatever. I guess I would encourage people to try like, hey, try it around the area of beauty and whether that's like a designer handbag that you really want, or that's just like a cute jacket that you're coveting or it's like, hey, I'm thinking about getting Botox. Like there are a lot of questions. And I think one that we used one time, Emily, was just getting your hair dyed. And I thought it was so interesting because it's something that like is very common to do. It's fine to do, you know, if somebody does that, but also thinking through, okay, well, how much money does that cost me? And can our family really afford that? Like, cause it can be very expensive. Or golly, I only like the salon that's an hour drive away to get my hair cut and dyed at. And then it takes me 4 total hours. It's a full afternoon away. And, you know, it's hard to schedule. So I hate having to cancel it. Even if something good comes up, like there's just a lot of different things that you can start to think through about beauty. And it's not to say driving an hour, getting your hair dyed is wrong, but there's probably a lot of things that need to go into that with like an income that can support that, with a schedule that can support that. And then there are questions even of thinking like, hey, would my time and money be spent somewhere else? Or is the Lord convicting me here that maybe I need to try something different? I need to dye my hair with a box at home, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's individual, which is what we keep talking about on this show through Gospel Mom, on Risen Motherhood, is that there isn't a one size fits answers for mom. But what we want to encourage you to do is start to think deeply about these things that you're going through the motions on and you don't think deeply about, but to like maybe step back and either you're going to come out one of two ways. You're going to either feel convicted to change and you're going to walk in freedom because you're going to make the change, or you're going to feel fully confident to continue doing what you're doing and walk in freedom. You know, it's great because freedom's on either side.
Yeah. I feel like it's really the difference between, you know, gripping something really tightly and holding it in your hands versus holding something open-handed. And I think when something has become, you know, disproportionately important to us and we are sort of starting to worship it and we are clinging to it, it's like, how does it feel when someone grabs something out of closed hands? It hurts, right? You have to pry my fingers off of it. You know, it takes time. I'm yelling as you're trying to get it away from me, versus coming to the Lord with open hands and saying, all of these things you have given me and I'm free to do them and they're fun. Like I color my hair and I love it. I get my nails done. I love it. But like, I've realized there are times when I'm getting my nails done and like, I can't hold that though with closed fist, as if this could never change, or I love this thing so much and don't take it from me. And you guys, it sounds ridiculous to say that, but it's also like we do feel that way.
Material, we're like children.
About, you know, we are like there are little niceties that we all have and we all like.
And that just might be like my weekly latte.
My garden.
Oh yeah, I want to do my garden.
My bread habit. My bread baking habit.
I want to lay in the sun. Yeah, I mean, it's tons of things.
We all have those little things that we kind of feel like,
I'm owed. I'm owed this.
I deserve this. This is my one thing in life. And then, but I can also do those things with open hands.
Exactly.
Which just says, okay, Lord, thank you for this. I'm grateful for this, but like, I'm not owed this and I don't automatically get this for the rest of my life. And if you need to take it away for some reason, because my life is oriented around Christ and there's a reason why I can't do this thing anymore, I will give it to you willingly and you can take it out of my hands because they're open.
Yep.
They're open before you.
And yes.
So it's just, when we were talking about this topic, it's really, again, as you're asking the why, maybe your decision doesn't change
at
all. Correct. Like you might keep doing the same thing, but the heart posture with which you're doing it may be radically changed. And now you're not doing it in worship of the thing. You're doing it in gratitude to God because he's the one who gives you all things.
Yep. And if, like last show with your personal conscience, you're feeling, oh, maybe I get my nails done a little bit too much. Like you're feeling a little bit of guilt about that. Or your conscience is firing because maybe you're like, oh, should I be not working as many hours? Or, you know, there's a lot of personal conscience at play with your heart motivation. And like Emily's saying is that once we dig under, if our hands are open or not, we may continue to make the same decision, but you're not living with sort of like that little light cloud of guilt or
like
angst.
The shame or like, I have to hide this.
I have to hide this. That's always like a good trigger or a flag. If you're trying to hide something, check your motivations.
Yeah. So we'll just kind of run through sort of the strategic litmus test decision-making questions that we have in the book here. It's just asking like, hey, is the cost of this to me or to our family worth it? Mm-hmm. Remembering that cost is more than money. Cost is time, cost is energy, cost is your heart, cost is your thought life. How does this align with our circumstances and values? How permanent is this decision, right? Some things you can, you know, go get your hair colored 1 month and then not another month. I mean, like there's a lot of things that are very flexible and, or you can say, yep, we're going to sign up for soccer this spring. And then next spring we don't have to, but there are other things that are permanent and there are other things that are very difficult to change and have lifelong consequences. And so you might want to think longer and harder about those if you can.
Exactly.
And then the last one, which you were just talking about is how transparent can I be about this decision? And this is really being able to walk in the light around other Christians and not have things in your life that you're sort of like doing in secret and that you kind of feel free to do, but you kind of don't. And so we've also put like an
appendices would be plural.
We have multiple appendices.
Yes, but one appendix
one of them specifically about like mom guilt, which is what you were talking about before, about what to do when you're kind of like, hey, I am struggling with guilt. I am feeling like I want to hide this, but there is freedom on the other side of that.
And that also means like, hey, you don't have to shout it from the rooftops. You don't have to blast Instagram with it, but you're willing to tell a few close friends about your decision. So, you know, ultimately, the whole heartbeat behind this is just, we want to encourage you guys to really think through what is your heart worshiping? And yes, it's probably Jesus, but also is there like something sitting up on the pedestal next to him? You know, are you sometimes replacing him with something else periodically? And what is your heart posture around if you miss out on that thing that you really love? You know, what does that look like for you? And so we just want to encourage you to start evaluating those things more deeply and to take your decisions prayerfully to the Lord and not elevating other things over him. What is your favorite part of this chapter?
Ooh, I mean, we were just talking about it a little bit, but I think the discussion about transparency, I remember whenever we were writing that section of the book, it was so difficult and we reworked it and rewrote it several times with different examples, because again, when you're talking about a decision, you're trying to give an example of something that a mom feels like, oh, I might need to hide this, or I kind of feel bad about this. Like, you don't want to put that mom's like trigger issue in the book.
I know.
She's feeling like called out. So it was really, really difficult to find the right thing. But I like we put this quote in about transparency and just saying the aim of these questions isn't to prompt guilt or condemnation or to size yourself up. The aim is to be able to walk in freedom, to be able to live for God's glory without fear, guilt, or shame. And I think that was something that, I don't know, I just hope that moms, as they read this and they walk away, they realize like all these kind of hard, uncomfortable, painful questions are really being asked with the ultimate aim of getting to freedom and joy and having this flourishing relationship with Christ. And it's not about making your thought life really cumbersome and like having to just, you know, overanalyze every single thing and like be super deep and dark all the time. But probably if there's a spectrum, right, most of us just do what we do. We don't really think about it. And like, well, I don't know. That's just what I started doing. And that's just what I like. So I do it versus asking some of these harder questions. But we really feel like if you can do that occasionally and as the Lord prompts, there's so much freedom on the other side. What about you, Laura?
Yeah. I mean, I would just go back. I love the questions that we added because I know we talked at the beginning of the show just about all the ways we were trying to diagram it. And it was like kind of complicated feeling and had a lot of different inputs that you could do. And ultimately we just simplified it to these questions that you could probably build out even further or drill deeper. But I do think that they are really good sort of, to use a David Pallison word, x-ray questions on your life and on your heart. And that I think ultimately as you can work through them, the exciting part is that you can go get your nails done for fun, you know, like, I mean, and I can feel guilt about little luxuries. I think I'm that kind of type of person that is a little bit more minimalist anyway, but can feel a lot of guilt around little luxuries and kind of even judgment around other people of like, well, should you be giving that money away? Or, you know, like I can get some of those thoughts of like, I don't know, that's just most honest. And so I think when we got to these questions, and just recognizing that everyone's going to come to different answers on these. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't need to worry about other people and what they're doing before the Lord, because that's between them. But even for myself to say, okay, yeah, my husband said I could go. And, you know, we have this, we're at a place where we can afford this and I have an afternoon free and like things are lining up and like, Lord, I can go and I can freely enjoy this and I can worship to do whatever it is, you know, lay by the pool or go get the nails done or get my haircut, whatever. And I think that that is really helpful, I think, for someone like me who can tend to have really more strict standards on some of those things. And I feel like we're really drilling into beauty and there's just so many other areas that this applies to, but it's probably just because it's on our minds.
Yeah, it definitely applies to so many other areas of motherhood. And, you know, I think this applies widely to all different decisions that we make. And even, hey, are we going to move somewhere different? Yeah. Are we going to live in a different place? Are we going to, you know, go onto the mission field in a really intentional way? Are we going to enter into foster care? Are we going, you know, there's like, this can go on and on and on. And, you know, I think that this sort of decision sieve that you can put things through is really helpful in a lot of different circumstances. Yeah.
Okay. And what is something you've learned since writing or are thinking about right now related to the topic?
I mean, I think something that we have gotten, my husband and I have gotten better at over the years that we still utilize a lot is evaluating the cost of something. I think I didn't used to really think about what something costs. And again, we're using that word broadly. And I don't think you always know, right? The first time that you do something, you can estimate, but you don't really know. I mean, I remember early-ish on in Risen Motherhood when we were traveling more and like speaking at different things and we were kind of like, okay, yeah, we'll go speak at that conference or we'll go do that. And we didn't really know what the cost was. We sort of went, oh yeah, it's one night away and, you know, but you get paid this much and like maybe it all works out. And for us personally, I shouldn't speak for you, but for me, like I went, oh no, 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 wait. I have to engage like six adults back at home for me to be gone. It's actually like the day before I'm packing and I have to prepare all this stuff for the kids. And then I'm recovering for 2 days after. And, you know, there's all these different facets of it that now, whenever something like that comes up, I might still say yes, but I'm able to much better evaluate, how is this going to impact me? How is this going to impact our family? How is this going to impact our kids? And then make a more informed decision about whether that cost is worthwhile. And sometimes it is, right? And sometimes it's talking with the kids and going, this is going to be hard for you for a couple of days and like pray for mommy. And like, this is part of spreading the gospel. But then other times it's like, hey, this doesn't make sense, you know, for our lives. And so I think it's just, I utilize that question so, so often when we're thinking about things or like kids sports, right? It's like, it's not just the practice times. Mm. It is the missed dinners. It's the time in the car. It's the rushed bedtimes. It's the, like, there is so much more that goes on to that. And I'm like, I actually think for us in that as fun as it would be to go to a few baseball games or whatever it is, like all of the stuff that goes with it is for us right now too high a cost. You know, it's just,
I mean, your kids
lot.
Do some sports though.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Our kids just definitely do sports. It's not like you're like no sports at all,
but it's funny. Cause
I mean, either way, it would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's hard. Cause like, you know, sometimes you get into that stuff and it feels like, oh, I do one. I want to do all of them.
Right.
And you know, I think we've kind of gone, okay, which ones is the cost worth it to us that we're like, oh, our kids especially like this sport and this sport. This sport, we kind of take or leave and like, oh, we're going to have a time of the year. And this is where like that wisdom and trial and error, you know, we had a time this winter where like we have a little bit of a family rule about like how many sports at one time. And we kind of broke it for a month and we were like, this was awful. Mm. And, you know, we were just rushing all over the place. Yeah. And it was like a good indicator for us of like, nope, this is too much. And you just recalibrate. And I think that's the other thing. When something's not permanent, you're like, oh, we can change.
Yeah, for sure.
What about you?
Okay. I would say for this, something that I'm thinking about right now is just the importance of me bringing people in to some of like my darkest areas that I want to hide. So I think I'm generally a pretty open person. I'm pretty like, you know, people can know a lot about me and it doesn't bother me too much, or I share pretty freely, but there are a handful of topics in my life that I'm like, nope, those are just for me. And like, I can even not talk to anybody about them. And like doubt would be a good example, like went a very long time not speaking to anyone because I'm ashamed of it or scared of it. And so there are just a few areas of my life like that. And I feel like I've learned over the past year or two, just how important it is to bring people into those dark areas, just one or two people, where maybe I'm feeling guilt or I'm feeling shame about a decision, or even just like dreaming and excited and almost like don't want to tell people because I'm afraid it won't be real and then I'll be a failure and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's so much better to bring people in because I don't stew so much. I think that it sort of cleanses icky desires out of me as I bring other people in. I think that it also holds me accountable to be better about my thoughts with it of like, okay, I've shared this with this person. I'm a verbal processor. So that partly probably helps like it not to stew so much. But when I share it with someone and I get feedback and I get advice and I get wisdom, then I think I'm just like more equipped to handle it when it like continues to pop up. So I don't know. Is that making sense?
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I feel like we're so disconnected these days in general and, you know, don't see friends and talk through things as much. Like that's not, I don't know. I don't feel like that's as baked into our Christian culture as maybe
I think there's just a lot of things we carry around. Mm-hmm. I think everyone has their secrets they carry around. You know, whether that's that they hate their body or that they're trying a weird food restriction diet and they're not going to tell anyone or that they're fighting with their husband or I don't know. I just think there are a lot of secrets that people feel too ashamed of to share. And it's maybe this is moving outside of Heart Motivations a little, but it's building on Holistically Gospel Mom and what we're trying to do. And I just think bringing one or two people in has been like stunningly helpful. And I know like you and I have talked about that, like just like you're one of the people that I tell and it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually I'm like, if I come tell you something and I'm like apologizing, I'm so sorry. I need to stop talking about this right now. I can't believe I'm sharing this or like I'm venting or whatever. And you're also good at being like, no, it's good. You need for somebody to be able to say these things to you. Yeah. And it's healthy to have other believers in your life that you can speak openly about your fears and why you're angry. But it's somebody who's going to point you back to the Lord.
Right. It's not gossip. Cause I think also like, I'll get afraid like, oh, is that gossip or is that judgment? Or am I speaking like unkindly about a person? If maybe that's one of the issues and it's like, no, like with certain people who are there to help, like we have to be able to share and you don't have to share in anger or slander or whatever, but there are ways to like talk about deep, hard things that are constructive and healthy and like ultimately bring everybody up to, you know, towards the truth.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go to the next one.
Okay. Where do you think moms are most likely to fall into error here?
Well, I mean, I'm just going to go back to my last answer. We're not honest. You know, I think sometimes we're not even honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we might have a hard enough time being honest with somebody else, but I think sometimes, we just want to believe like our motives are pure. Or I think you said this earlier in the show, we just don't slow down enough to think about it. We just do what we've always done. We do what our parents raised us to do. And there's just no checking. There's no vetting of our decisions and our actions. And we sort of just assume like, this is the water I swim in. Therefore I get to do whatever I want. And, mm-hmm. you know, even when I think about like giving or tithing, like so often I'm like, exactly how do you do it? And exactly how do you do it? You know, you kind of want to like hear what everybody does so that you can make sure you're doing it right. It's like the Lord's going to lead and like, yes, talk, gather. But like, you know, heart motivation there is like,
be a cheerful giver, give whatever the Lord has convinced you to give.
Yes.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't even check those and you're like, well, this is what my parents said, or I'm 10%. So that's what God said, you know, whatever. And so that was kind of a weird example. But the point is, I think just, I don't think women or men, I don't think we think super deeply about our own actions and we kind of trick ourselves or justify things weirdly.
Oh yeah. There's like some Bible verses about that.
Yeah.
I was writing down, you know, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Mm. And I know that's not the only verse in scripture that talks about how we can't even really accurately discern our own minds. Mm-hmm. We can't actually discern our own hearts. Right. And we give ourselves benefit of the doubt all the time.
We do.
And we're, oh, I probably am right about this. And I have such good motivations in this. And I'm, you know, doing the best thing that I can here. And we're so gracious with ourselves.
We're so gracious with ourselves. It's true.
Yeah. It's like I had the best intentions, right? All of those things. And we can trick ourselves. Like we can convince ourselves that something that's false is true, you know? And I love this because right after that Jeremiah 17:9 verse, it's like, who can understand it? Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. And it's like, the only person who can accurately discern and know our hearts is God. And that's why it's so important that we come before him. We bring our decisions before him and ask for wisdom because we can sit all day and, you know, go through becoming a gospel mom and like do our little workbook and like map everything out, but we can't even like fully trust ourselves. And I think there's somewhere in Corinthians, one of the Corinthians that Paul talks about, he's like, I don't even judge myself. Mm. He's talking about like, are you supposed to judge me? Who's supposed to judge me? I don't even judge myself. He's like, the Lord judges me. And he's like, I'm not even a good judge of whether or not I'm being faithful with the gospel, but God is a good judge and I will come before him and lay it before him. And so I love Psalm 139:23. And I pray this as a prayer, like often, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. And just ask the Lord, you know, as you're going through these things, Lord, try me, try me and know my thoughts and make it plain.
It's a scary prayer, but
it's a scary prayer, but a good one. So if a mom wanted to do one or two things right now to help her grow in this area, what would she do?
I mean, I'm going to go to kind of what feels like my theme this show, which is like bring a friend or two in and be transparent about some of those decisions. And it doesn't have to be like, hey, what do you do? But more like, hey, I'm feeling this. And maybe even work through those questions that we shared on the show earlier of, you know, what's the cost? Remembering that's not just monetary, you know, what is your family values? Does it align? Like walk through those with another person. I think it's great to do alone on your own, but again, we have hidden biases. We justify things. So I think when you bring in another really wise mom who can look at it, that could be really helpful for you and freeing, and then get that advice and walk forward in it. And I think it kind of starts to inform your conscience. And as we talked about in the last show, like you need to do what your conscience is telling you to do. So walk in that strongly and feel like you can get some freedom on these things. And you just don't have to live with mom guilt. I think that's what we tend to do is we all live with like this low level of mom guilt. I think the Risen Motherhood survey a couple of years ago, it was like 97% of moms. And I was like, who are you 3%? Who are you that have no mom
guilt? They're living gospel motherhood already. They don't need this book.
I want to meet them. But you know, 97% of us are living with a continual low level of mom guilt. I mean, it's like, oh man, that doesn't have to be the case. So I want that for every mom.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, this is like a heavy show. These are heavy topics. If you guys were here, I'd give you a hug.
Oh, like, I need a hug.
It's like, it's okay. You can do it. All right. I think we've got one more topic after this. Let's go.
Hi, my name is Anna and I live in England. I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because it points me to the gospel in all aspects of motherhood. I first discovered Risen Motherhood over 6 years ago when I had my first tiny newborn. I had moved to a new town and knew very few people, and listening to those episodes back then felt like meeting up for a coffee with wise and encouraging friends. I'm just as grateful now for this ministry as I was back then, and I can say it's truly helped my mothering and my faith journey in general. Thank you, Risen Motherhood.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.